Okay, so there's an interesting phenomenon, maybe every year, but especially this year, for many of us, and that is the following: the majority of us are going to be in Eretz Yisrael for Pesach, and part of the, I guess, the Pesach of this yeshiva, which is the Pesach of the majority of post Gimel. There are obviously some important there are some important chokim on that, but the majority view of Achronim is that B'nai Chutz La'aretz, who happen to be in Eretz Yisrael, should keep a second day of Yontif even here, should have a Yontif Sheni. What I want to try to talk about tonight is, or next morning, sorry, is the following. Sometimes when we speak about Yontif Sheni, we get very caught up in the question, especially in Eretz Yisrael, how many days of B'nai Chutz La'aretz to keep while in Eretz Yisrael. I have no interest in talking about that at all. What I do want to talk about is the real nature of Yontif Sheni, how we relate to the day, what the day is really sort of all about halachically, and hopefully to be able, in the world of Machshava at some point to transition, develop what I think is a very, very beautiful idea. Sometimes people can relate to Yontif Sheni as being a little bit of it can be annoying or a hindrance on some level. Some of us I know in our Pesach plans, the fact that we needed a second day impacted where we would go and what we would be doing. And really, I think it's a very, very special day and one that I think has the ability to present a particular opportunity. But let me try and develop the idea as follows. We're gonna have three sections of the shiur. The first will be a hakadama, the world of Yontif Sheni. The second is going to be a very important discussion in Rishonim about the status of Yontif Sheni in halacha, whether it's more of a minhag or a takana. And the third, we're gonna speak about the nature of the kedusha of Yontif Sheni and try to develop what I think is a very, very beautiful idea. So let's begin like this. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, based on sugyas and Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that what originally would happen would be as follows. If you look in Chumash, it's pretty clear that Yamim Tovim have, there's one day of the first day of Yontif, there's nothing as Yontif Sheni at all. And what originally would happen was we would sanctify the new moon, there'd be Kiddush HaChodesh, that would be done al yidei Edim. Witnesses would come, witnesses would see a new moon, they would come to the Beis Nagadol, they would come to Yerushalayim, they would inform them that they saw the new moon. And then we had a particular process we would go through to spread word out so that people would know that when the new moon, when the new month was going to be. That's clear in the Mishnayos and Maseches Rosh Hashanah. That's clear in the Gemara there. The way that we would spread it through a particular process, we would spread things out so everybody could know about it. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh in Perakeh in Halacha Dalet that what would happen, the shluchei, there would be messengers that would be sent out, and they would be responsible for getting word out to people to know what exactly to do. What happened? What happened was that there were particular locations where people were not going to be able to get word when the new moon was going to be. This is before the era of communication as we know it. And therefore, if you were sitting and you were in Tinek and they were making Yontif in Eretz Yisrael, you wouldn't have heard about it. So what did you do? So Gemara tells us you did something called the Yontif Sheni. Yontif Sheni was done misafik. You weren't sure what day was Yontif, the first or the second, when exactly Pesach was going to be the 14th or the 15th. And because of that, we decided to add in, or 15th or 16th, we decided to add in a Yontif Sheni. We kept 2 days misafik because we were not sure what exactly we are supposed to be doing. It was not clear to us what the din should actually be. What happened? So says the Gemara, but now the way that we establish New Moon, the way that we go through Kiddush HaChodesh, the way that we establish Yom Tov, Mazal Pi HaCheshbon, we go through it by having a set calendar. We know when things are going to be. If that's so, wonders the Gemara in Beitza on Daf Dalet. So why are we still keeping it nowadays? What exactly is the rationale behind keeping it nowadays? So the Gemara says, My time of Din Treyomi, Mishum Deshalchum Misam, Hizaru B'minag Avoseichem B'yadeichem, Zimnim DeGazu HaMalchus G'zeira V'asi L'Kokule. The Gemara tells us as follows. The reason why we keep it nowadays was because Chazal told us, Hizaru B'minag Avoseichem B'yadeichem, since our ancestors in Chutz La'aretz kept 2 days, so we have an obligation to continue to observe that minag, which they kept, of Yontif Sheni. What is the rationale in the Gemara? The Gemara's explanation is that we're nervous having everyone rely just on the calendar. What could happen? There could be a Shas Hashmad, there could be a particular Tkufa in Jewish history where the interaction, the communication between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz could get lost. The Chutz La'aretz community could end up being more independent. Maybe they would rely on a different kind of cheshbon and keep on a different kind of a day. So we assume Yisharu minag avoseichem b'yadeichem, and therefore because the minag that we continue to observe that minag. Lim Ma'isa, Yontif Sheni has for almost all halachas the exact same status as Yom Tov Rishon. We make Kiddush, we daven the exact same Yom Tov Sheni that we do on the first Yom Tov, that we do on the first Yom Tov. There are one or two sort of more minor exceptions found in Chazal, found in Poskim. The Gemara in Beitza, as an example, on Dav Vav, tells us that if there is a person who passes away, Rachman Litzlan, so a person passed away on Yom Tov Rishon, he's Askubo Amimim. Then we have non-Jews bury the mace on Yom Tov Rishon. If a Jew passed away on Yom Tov Sheni, then he's Askubo Yisrael. And Yom Tov Sheni, we have a special heter that Jews are allowed to bury the mace. What we do nowadays is not for now. There are certain additional kulos based on the Gemara later on, Maseches Beitza, specifically in the realm of refuah, that maybe there's more of a heter for certain kinds of things that are normally usher on Shabbos and Yom Tov to do for medicinal purposes, which become mutter to do on Yom Tov Sheni. But all else being equal, Yom Tov Rish and Yom Tov Sheni have the exact same status. That's our Hakdama to Yom Tov Sheni. We still keep it. We undoubtedly keep it nowadays, even in Chutz La'aretz. We undoubtedly keep it there. When a Ben Chutz La'aretz goes to Eretz Yisrael, when a Ben Eretz Yisrael goes to Chutz La'aretz, that's what we have Machlokes and Poskim, what exactly we do. What exactly is the status of this obligation? Yeah. We'll get, I think at the end we'll panel Derech Machshava. We're not going to get fancy enough for that. Yeah. Why they're... Yeah. It's a kula on the Sheni. We don't have an Yantav Rishon. That's what I mean. Okay. So, what exactly is the status of Yantav Sheni? Why do we keep Yantav Sheni nowadays? Why are we keeping it nowadays? So let's give a little bit of a Hakdama. One thing which is very clear is that we're not keeping it nowadays because there's a chi of Doraisa to keep Pesach on the second day. There's definitely no chi of Doraisa. If you look in Chumash, there's no reference at all to there being a Yom Tov Sheni. So it's definitely not a chi of Doraisa. Part of the question is, though, there are different tiers of obligations, even if I don't know within Doraisa, there are different tiers of obligations. The Prima Gadim and its Psicha Koleles has a variety of tiers. The Rambam is like Dominic Pesach Mishnah. I'll talk about this in a bit of a different way. There's something called, at times, takanas made by the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan can make a takana. The Rabbanan established, as an example, to read Kriyas HaMegillah. The Rabbanan established to light Neiros Chanukah. The Rabbanan may be, for some, the ones who established to say Hallel at times. There's something called takanas, or dinei, the Rabbanan, which exist. There's something else, which is called minhagim. There are minhagim, which we fulfill also. Some minhagim are personal minhagim. Those are binding mitam neder. That's sugim zaych nadarim. Some minhagim are family minhagim. Sugim zaych tzachim adaf nun. We have a family minhagim. And some minhagim can be a minhag hamakom. A minhag hamakom. It's a minhag in particular locations. So in that makom, there's a particular kind of a minhag. That's the sugim in the fourth parakam. It's psachim, all about minhag hamakom. What is Yom Tov Sheni? What is Yom Tov Sheni? The fact that originally we did it mishum safik. Originally in Chutz La'aretz they did it. It seems to have been some sort of that was the common practice because they didn't know that was what they did. But what is it nowadays? What's the difference nowadays? Why are we keeping it? Are we keeping it because it's a minhag and the minhag that we had then continues to be binding on us even though circumstances have changed and even though nowadays we know why we do it? The minhag continues to be binding nowadays. Minhagim, like kitnios, was a minhag was developed. Then we still have that minhag that we don't eat kitnios, Ashkenazim at least, it continues. It's binding mishum minhag. Alternatively, did Chazal mean when they said hishamru, hisharu, the minhag avoseichem, biadechem, did Chazal mean to essentially say something else, which is, they did it mishum minhag. But when Chazal makes that statement, what they actually did was they transformed the way Yom Tov Sheni works. Originally, it was a minhag mishum safek. Originally, we didn't know what to do, so we were machmir. But now that we know what happened, so maybe what happened now is Chazal came along and they were misakin. They made a takana. The takana was b'nei Chutz La'aretz or in Chutz La'aretz, depending on that shaila. You have to keep 2 days. It's a takana gemura. So how exactly do we relate to the idea of Yom Tov Sheni? It's a minhag, or it happens to be a takana. One of the primary questions, which comes up. Where does that come up? So I'll give you one context where it emerges. It was relevant to what happened this morning during davening. The din is that we, today is Rosh Chodesh, and we say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. That appears to be a minhag. If you go to the Sugya, the Maseches Erechin, on Daf Yud, there is no chiyuv to say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. It doesn't have an Isser Melacha. There's no chiyuv to Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Why do we say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh? We say it's a minhag. How do we know that it's a minhag? That's why we drop two of the sections. We skip. It's Hallel Bedilog. We skip two sections of Psukim because it's only a minhag. It's not really a chiyuv. That's the difference in how we say it. Do you make a bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is a major machlokes haposkim. The Rishonim debate the following shaila. Do you make a bracha upon performance of a minhag? A minhag for sure you have to do, but do you make a bracha when you fulfill a minhag? The opinion of Rashi in Maseches Sukkah, Rashi writes in Sukkah and Daf Mem Daled that you do not. Why don't you recite a bracha on a minhag? So Rashi says, because the Nusach HaBracha is Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosav V'tzivanu. And we aren't really commanded to fulfill a minhag. You can't say it's vitzivanu. It's not nichlal in the din of lo sasser. In the Torah's requirement, doesn't do rabbanim. And therefore, they were commanded to do rabbanim. There's no real lo sasser. You can't say vitzivanu. You don't make a bracha on a minhag. However, the opinion of some of the Balei HaTosfos was not like that. The Balei HaTosfos said, no, you make a bracha on a minhag. You make a bracha on a minhag. How do I make a bracha on a minhag? So some Rishonim say that you archive bidin lo sasa to keep minhagim. But how do you make a bracha? You make a bracha on a minhag. That's the opinion of Tosfos. It's in Brachos and Daf Yedal and Sukkah Daf Memdal, other places. That's the Machlokas HaRishonim. In the middle of that discussion, the Balei HaTosfos bring a raya. And the Balei HaTosfos say, I'll give you a raya that you make brachas on minhagim. Nafkamina, you make a bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. What's the raya that you make a bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh? We all make brachas on Yom Tov Sheni. Anyone that keeps Yom Tov Sheni makes brachas. You make a bracha when it comes to Kiddush. You make a bracha in Tefillah. You make a bracha all the time on Yom Tov Sheni. So the fact that you make a bracha, which no one debates on Yom Tov Sheni, say the Balei HaTosfos, even though it's only a minhag, shows me, proves to me that you can make a bracha even on a minhag. That is Rabbeinu Tam's shita in Tosfos in Maseches Sukkah. But what about Rashi? Rashi says we don't make brachas on minhagim. Because of that, the Balei HaTosfos quote, which is the shita Sarambam, which is the way that Sfardim are knowing that we don't make a bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, not as much Sfardim or Noach, because you don't make brachas on Minhagim. So what about Yom Tov Sheni? Why are we making brachas on Yom Tov Sheni? We keep it because it's a minhag, and if we keep it because it's a minhag, so lichora, we should be on Yom Tov Sheni, we should be able to make brachas. So how are you making a bracha on second day of Yom Tov? How are we all going to be at a Seder? We're going to make brachas on Seder night, those of us that are going to. How is that okay? Or in Chutz La'aretz, where everyone's going to be doing it, how is that okay? So there are two Mahalchim in Rishonim to answer that question. There are two Mahalchim in Rishonim. One is mentioned by Tosfos. Tosfos says like this, no. Maybe there is no problem to make a bracha on a minhag. What was the problem for Rashi? The problem for Rashi is you can't say what word? Vitzivanu. But the brachas that we recite, say the Balei HaTosfos, on Yom Tov Sheni, we don't actually say Vitzivanu. We don't say Vitzivanu. We make Kiddush. I don't say Vitzivanu the same way I get fun. When you're near Tefillah and you're davening on morning, you're saying a Shachris of Yontif on the second day, you're not saying Vitzivanu. You're not saying Vitzivanu. Therefore, say the Balei HaTosfos, that even though Rashi in general holds there's no brachas on Minhagim, maybe for Yontif Sheni it'd be okay. Because you're not really saying Vitzivanu, parentheses, but maybe we do say Vitzivanu sometimes. Let's all go through our head and like there's a lot of eye movement going on. Maybe there are some that we do. Okay, for a different time. The Ran, though, which is the answer which matters much more for us, the Ran says, no. You know why you're allowed to make a bracha on Yom Tov Sheni? Even if in general you can't make a bracha on Minhagim, you can make a bracha on Yom Tov Sheni. Why can I make a bracha on Yom Tov Sheni? Because Yom Tov Sheni is not a minhag. Yom Tov Sheni is a takana. It would have started as a practice, as a custom. We didn't know what to do, so we kept it. But what Chazal did was, once we had a cheshbon, and once we it was no longer a suffix, Chazal said, we're going to make a takana, called takanas Yom Tov Sheni. And now you're doing it not because it's binding Misham Minhag. It's not binding Misham Minhag. It's binding because Chazal have the power to establish takanas. And therefore, as the Gemara tells us in the second paragraph of Masechta Shabbos, the same way that you are allowed to make a bracha on the takana of Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah, we all make a bracha when we light Neiros Chanukah, you're also allowed to make a bracha on Yom Tov Sheni. It's considered to be a takana. Let's chaz what we saw thus far as we continue to move and build a little bit. We've noted thus far there's a phenomenon called Yom Tov Sheni. The phenomenon of Yom Tov Sheni we keep nowadays, even though strictly speaking, we all know when Yom Tov really is, and originally it was a suffix. Why do we keep it nowadays? So Tosfos says, Rabbeinu Tam, it's a minhag, and I can prove from here the fact that we make brachas on Yom Tov Sheni is a raya. You can make brachas on minhagim. However, the Ran points out that no, even if you don't make brachas on minhagim generally, Yom Tov Sheni, the reason why we keep it nowadays is not mishum minhag. We keep it mishum takana. We keep it mishum takana. Okay, 1 second. Let's give the Rambam, and then we'll pause for some questions. What does the Rambam think? So the Rambam has a lot of different formulations in a lot of different places, and the Rambam it gets a little bit complicated and a little bit tricky. So let's read some of them. I'm sorry they're not on your sheets. I'll give you the exact makoros, and we'll go as follows. In Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah Perek Vav, the Rambam is describing there somebody who, certain people that have to go into Nidoy, certain people you have to put into Cherim. One of them is, says the Rambam, HaMechalo Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, Afal Pi Shehu Minhag. The Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah Perek Vav Halacha Yedalid calls it a Minhag. Interestingly, if you look on, 1 second. If you look in the Rambam Hilchos Chanukah, the Rambam Hilchos Chanukah per Gimel Halacha Hey, the Rambam says that b'chol yom, every day of Chanukah, you say a full Hallel. He says, "V'yom Tov Sheni v'lam mevarchim Yom Tov Sheni, v'heim lo tiknuhu ela mipnei safek k'dei shol yizal zlubo." There, the Rambam used the lashon not of minhag, but the lashon of v'heim lo tiknuhu. It was on some level a takana. So the Rambam, we're not sure how to categorize it. If you look, though, the Rambam Hos Kizah Chodesh has a very odd formulation. Says the Rambam, "Aval takanas chachamim hu se yizharu b'minag avoseim shebiyadeim." Hos Kizah Chodesh Parakei Lachahei. It's a takanas chachamim to keep the minhag. So it's more minhag, more takana. The real challenge around the fourth place around where it comes up is the Rambam in Hilchos Shvitas Yontif, Perek Aleph, Halach Chaf Aleph. It's an amazingly loaded formulation. So please listen closely. Zesha anu osim b'chutz la'aretz kol yom tov me'elu shnei yamim. The fact that we keep 2 days, minhag hu, it's a minhag, v'yom tov sheni midivrei sofrim hu. Anyone said a little bit of Rambam, though, that line is, it's a ridiculously loaded line. Midivrei sofrim. The Rambam's midivrei sofrim, sometimes he uses a big machlokas, does he mean it's a din doraisa, or is it a din durabanan? Sometimes we have that line, divrei sofrim, we know it means doraisa. What's an example? The Rambam writes, kidushe kesef, if you marry a girl, give her a ring under the chuppah, the Rambam says, kidushe kesef is divrei sofrim. The pashtus is, Magen Mishnah, others point out, that's a din doraisa. Divrei sofrim there means din doraisa. It's pretty clear in this context, divrei sofrim does not mean d'oraisa. There's no chiyuv d'oraisa to keep the second day, but it's a minhag, which is midivrei sofrim umidivreim shenischatshu begalas. And it's one of the things about nischadei shengalas. So if there's a machlokas in general, is it more of a minhag or is it more of a takana? It's pretty clear in Rambam the answer is yes. It's got some minha going on, and it's got some takana going on. Okay? So we can envision that whatever you understand Shitas Rambam to be, it's going to be some sort of a hybrid or something that somehow connects minhag and takana. The shaila is, so what really is it? So we're going to develop two mahalchim for the Rambam. That Rambam is the Hilchos Shvi'is Yomtiv, Perek Aleph, Halacha Chaf Aleph, Perek Aleph, Halacha Chaf Aleph. There are two mahalchim in Achron that we're going to quote. One of them is in a very fascinating sefer. The sefer called Tshuvas Hisoris Tshuva. Hisoris Tshuva. Who wrote Hisoris Tshuva? The grandson of the Chasam Sofer, son of the Ksav Sofer, passed away in the Holocaust in his 90s. He was a Zocha to Arichas Yamim, passed away in his 90s. He wrote Tshuvas called Hisoris Tshuva. What's fascinating about his Tshuvas? He was a huge Anna, and therefore he published his Tshuvas anonymously. Didn't write his name. And the top of every page, you know, the top of most Sfarim, it says the name of the Sefer on top, like Hisoris, you know, like it'll say whatever the Sefer happens to be. Derech Chaim, Ein Yaakov, whatever you're looking at, when it comes to the Hisoris Tshuva, on the top of the page it says in parentheses, Ein Lismoch al Horazo Bichlal. Like, don't be somech on anything in the Sefer at all, Ayin Hakdama, Ayin Hakdama. So you go to the Hakdama, because you're intrigued, you open up the Sefer, it says, don't be somech on the Hakdama, so it's a good way to get readers to look in the Hakdama. So he writes in the Hakdama that there are certain prerequisites a person has to have to be qualified to pass in Shailas. He holds he is not right in any of those prerequisites. He holds he's not right to pass in a Shaila. So he's writing it like Le'ian Bilvah. He's writing it so that people can know what he thinks about things, but it's not really, really Halach L'maisa. That he put out. In the next edition, when it came out, he already passed away. So when his descendants put it out, so they you know, diluted that a little bit. He was a big Anav. He was someone that wanted me to be okay, this is who wrote it, and really, you know, like there's a little bit of that going on. So in the Hisoris Tshuva, what he claims is as follows. It is a pure takana. Much more in the camp of the Ran, it's a pure takana. Okay. Because it's a pure takana, that's why the Rambam often writes takana. When Rambam said midibri sofrim, what he means there is chazal were misakin it. What's pshat that the Rambam sometimes calls it a minhag? So all the Rambam means when he says that was initially, when we originally established it, it was originally a minhag, meaning at the time of chazal, before we had the cheshbon, it was more of a minhag, that's what it was. But once the calendar was established, we were misakin as being a takana gemura. Tzinchila gimel simin shin vav in tshuvas his oris tshuva. So he writes takanas chachamim gemura. However, the Briska Rav has a lot to say on his entertaining shaila. He's a very famous piece in Hilchos Brachos in the context of discussions about brachas on minhagin, which we're not going to speak about right now. But the Rambam has a very unique view. So claims the Briska Rav. But the Briska Rav in Erechin on Daf Yud quotes this Rambam, and he tries to figure out what he means. It's because of a Rambam Hilchos Yontif, but Tzarech Ian, Halashon, the Pasach Tulahavi Rak Minhag. Initially, we're told it's a Minhag, but he's seeing the Havi mean Divrei Sofrim. But then he says Divrei Sofrim. Like, what's going on here? Like, how do we navigate this? What's going on? So he says, if you look at the Ram, which we quote, what does Ram say? It's takanas chachamim hu sheyizharu b'minag avoseyem shebiyadeyem. Interesting. Ready? Listen to this line. Hamivuar de'ikr dinav shal yontav sheni hu minag v'chein dino be'etzem hachefza. The rata divrei sofrim hu lishmor haminhag. Okay, what does that mean? It means like this, I think, and I'll try to give you like a mashal to make it a little bit clearer in a second. There's something called a yontif sheni. Yontif sheni is fundamentally, if you were to categorize it and categorize its halachas, you would put it in the category of minhag. It's chefza. It's a chefza shel minhag. The chefza shel minhag. Its essence, its qualities are defined by it being a minhag. However, there was a takana that we continue to observe this minhag. But the takana did not recategorize the essential nature of Yom Tov Sheni. It didn't switch it to being a takana like Neir's Chanukah were a takana. Be'etzem ha'chefza, its status, its essence is still a minhag, because we have to keep it as a minhag. We have to keep it as a minhag. Mashal ma'adavar domeh. Reb Chaim held this was the case with Tfilas Arvis. Mariv, we assume a Ikir Hadin is Rishus, is optional, but we also assume that Kiblu Alayu Kichova, that we accepted upon ourselves that Mariv, we are all going to daven Mariv. The way Reb Chaim sets it up, there were Rishonim that learned that when we accepted the daven Mariv, Mariv was no longer an optional tefillah. Mariv became a chiyuv like Shacharis and Mincha. Reb Chaim claims for Rambam that's not true. That for Rambam, Mariv, even when we made it a Rishus, even when we started, when we were Makabal, a Kechova, it was still fundamentally in its essence an optional tefillah. Because there was an optional tefillah which we now have to do. But it didn't change its essence. Why is that? Mariv nafkaminas for tefillas nedava. And that means different area. But says the Rambam, that's how you're going to look at Yom Tov Sheni. Which means as follows. Why do we have to keep Yom Tov Sheni? We have to keep Yom Tov Sheni for the Brisker Rav because it's a takana. Chazal said to keep it. But what are we keeping? We're keeping something which is in its essence essentially a minhag. And the dinim and how we observe it, we're going to observe it to ilu it's a minhag. So what does that mean? As far as Yom Tov Sheni, the bracha goes, on Yom Tov Sheni, you can't say the Ron's answer. The Ron's answer is a pure takana, and therefore make a bracha to pure takana. But that's not true for the Brisker Rav, l'chora. For the Brisker Rav, the real pshat is that we are, it is still bechefta, it's a minag, which means that maybe we couldn't make a bracha because takana, you're making a bracha even though it's a minag. Why there are the Brisker Rav tries to prove why the Rambam thinks you make, this isn't safe for those brachos, according to Rambam, if Yom Tov Sheni really is a minhag, why does the Rambam think that you don't make a bracha on Hal Rosh Chodesh, even though it's a minhag, but you do make a bracha on the minhag of Yom Tov Sheni? That's part of the question. But what we see essentially is that according to the Rambam, it really is a minhag, it's really not a takana derabanan, it's really a minhag, and because it's a minhag, so it's not going to have the exact same status. Only parallel I can think of, your grandfather in one of his Sfarim has this about Neir's Chanukah, difference between Chashad and Mars Ayin. A similar question, I think, about Bracha. Is that possible? How good are we in Gan Shoshanim's? I don't know. But I think there he has a discussion about this also in a different context. And he has it, sorry, on Hadlaka and Beis Knesses. On Neir's Chanukah, I think. The talk comes up also, I think. I can check. I don't know. But you don't have to bother. I'm just saying, I think so. Okay. What we have is as follows. Because it's in a sefer called Zevet Tov over there. I think it's where that is. But the Gan Shoshanim, I think it's Chashad Marasayin. I think it comes up there. I really think so. Whatever. It's okay. What we have is, we have like this. We have an important discussion. We're timing-wise well. We're about to approach the 30-minute mark, which is where we wanted to go for our final stage. But we have an important question here about the nature of Yom Tov Sheni. It's a takana, it's a minag, it's a pure takana, or it's a pure minag, or maybe it is, we have to keep it as a takana, it's binding because Chazal told us to keep it, but what Chazal told us to keep was that minag. You find a similar kind of a formulation in the Ritva. The Ritva writes Shana Daf Yud Ches, that we keep Yom Tov Sheni, it's one of these like, it's almost like a postmodern kind of like an idea, says the Ritva, B'neya be'ikir ha'maisa ki'ilu ein anu yodim klum u'mevarchim bo mekatch bo kimoshu safik bi'adenu. Like, even though we know that we have to do it, we treat it as if we're still b'safik, like we were at that original time. Okay, that's a different idea, but a relevant formulation. That's Akan's first two halakim. I'm going to say a couple questions, and therefore I can take a drink. Yeah. So, one has to do, I think, with the bracha piece. The bracha piece. We make the brachas either way, but it forces what you call like ripple effect. If you say it's a pure takana, so then the Rambam maybe always holds you never make brachas on minhagim. If he holds it's a minhag and you're still making a bracha on it, so now I'm going to be forced to say a lot of Torah about which minhagim you do make brachas on and which minhagim you don't make brachas on. And that's going to mean, so like what you say, it's not going to be a direct impact, but it'll impact the whole sugya of bracha minhagim, which is going to impact shilohs like on Chanukah, when you light Neiros Chanukah and Shul, make a bracha or not. When you light because of Chashad and Neiros Chanukah, you have two entrance ways, do you make a bracha or not? The Brisker Rav is going to say an important Torah there, which is going to be important. But as a TBC person, Rabbi Jack wrote an article about this a little bit years ago, I think also Halal, Bracha Minhag, or something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Pashtus not.
Why did they ever?
The machlokes is as follows. Did the messengers reach everywhere in Eretz Yisrael? So the Rambam makes it sound like it's really tully where the messengers got. The Ritva, I think, makes it sound like it's tully in Eretz Yisrael or not. The Brisker Rav, Kayadua, I believe, was Nizar Atimulach on Yom Tesheni. Because he was nervous that maybe they didn't come to, was there a Yeshuv in Mei Sharm at that particular time? Did the messengers actually get there? Sounds like the messengers didn't get there, you have to be Nizar Yom Tesheni. So that's why, like, yeah. You say halal, you don't say bracha on it. Yeah. Okay. No. So halal, you don't make a bracha. If you hold, because they hold that part of the shas is like this. There's in part shoftim, and so it says lo sasser and adav rashi gidul chayamim u'smol. You have to follow the rabbanan. So is minhagim nichlal in lo sasser or not? Rashi claims no. Some rishonim claim yes. If you hold that you make a bracha minhagim, so the way some rishonim say it out, the machlokas is, does lo sasser apply to minhagim or not? No, Tova says maybe a way of explaining why on Yom Tov Sheni you would still make it because of that, but you still wouldn't make a halal necessarily. I mean, that's a shaila about the halal piece. Yeah. Yeah.
First, it was a minhag for
the
Rambam.
No, originally it was a minhag time before there was a cheshbon. Once there was a cheshbon, Chazal made a takana gemura to keep it. That's why the Rambam usually says takana. His minhag, he means like originally it started as more of a minhag. Okay. I want to build and really try and develop an additional idea. It's an idea which I think is very intriguing. We're gonna begin with a little bit of lamdas, and then we're going to move move a little bit to the world of machshava. We're going to see some, I think, very fascinating Torah about Yom Tov Sheni in a way which I think is meaningful and worthwhile. Let me begin like this. When years ago, I came across a sefer of comments of the previous amshin of a Rebbe. Okay. So there in that sefer, there's a line that got me thinking a lot. I think he quoted that there were some tzaddikim that were nervous to move to Eretz Yisrael because they were scared to give up the opportunity of Yom Tov Sheni. They want to move to Eretz Yisrael because they did not want to give up Yom Tov Sheni. It's a startling idea. It's a wild idea. You know, it's hard to take it at face value. But it certainly indicates that Yom Tov Sheni, there's something going on with Yom Tov Sheni, maybe like a little bit above and beyond. If you look in the Otzer HaGaonim, the Gaonim, Rav Hai Gaon, there in Beitza and Davav, on Dav Dalet, Otzer HaGaonim, quotes Rav Hai Gaon. When they ask Rav Hai Gaon, why do we still keep Yom Tov Sheni? And can we stop it already? You know, like, ugh, we move on. Into Shani or not. So the first thing you say, well, the Gemara says we're nervous, maybe there's going to be like another such a shemad and the communities are going to be broken, we're not going to know when it is. Okay, that's one reason why, and therefore it's binding. But says Rav Hai Gaon in the Otzer HaGaonim, he says the real thing is Kenevim Tzivu Es Yisrael Shebechutz La'aretz Ve'ein Anu Yodim Amisus Al HaDavarai. Says Rav Hai Gaon, there's probably a deeper pshat going on in the Yom Tov Sheni beyond just what Chazal say. That there's often when Chazal make takanas, there's a deeper sort of insight or idea beyond just what they say. The Gra very famously embraced this idea. When Chazal asked her something, it wasn't only for the reason they gave. There are always deeper explanations going on. And therefore, we really can't change it. We really can't change it because there may have been something else at stake and we can't really know. We don't know what the reason was initially why they established it in order to really get rid of it. So what in the world of I guess machshava, what is Yom Tov Sheni and what's it really all about, and what is the deeper level beyond just what you would find? There's a very famous Torah of the Alter Rebbe of Chabad in Likutei Torah. It's Likutei Torah to Shmini Atzeres. The Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Baal Tanya, in Sefer Likutei Torah, develops what is a very, very beautiful idea. And it's a very powerful idea. And it's one that can, like, actually, I think, frame things and will develop, so far, I think, an additional extension, maybe. How this Torah is well known in the Sefer Yad Vashem Kelchaso, that there's definitely a lot of Torah out there like this. Let me be mocked him in the following way. Salvechik in their Rishimo Shiurim is quoted as having pointed out, and this is a bit of a Shaila Nachronim, that whatever it is Yontav Sheni was done with Yontav Sheni, it's clear, L'chora, and there's some Nachronim again that question this, it's clear that it's not a regular weekday that we happen to like make believe it's Kilu a Yontav, but it seems like it's on your sheet, it's in source, I don't know, whatever it is, oh, five over there, Shimo Shiurim to Brachos, Neflam and Mabez. But what seems like happened is Shechilu Bo Kedushas Hayom Machmas Minna, that there is a certain Kedusha which actually comes in that day. That's how you can recite Kiddush. Kiddush is not Stama, a play or a game. It's not Kiddush like, well, you know, I don't know, like I might as well come along and make Kiddush for kicks, even though it's a regular Tuesday. He said, no, Chazal, there is a Kedusha found there. Says the Baal Tanya as follows. The way that Yomim Tovim work is a certain koach that's brought down to the world on that Yontif. A certain koach which is brought down to the world on that Yontif. And our job in many ways is to receive and to take advantage of and to connect to the power of that particular day. It says the Baal HaTanya, the difference was as follows. In Eretz Yisrael, you're on a madrega where a person can receive that koach, where a person can receive that koach in one day. We are at a madrega, we're powerful enough to be able to connect to that koach even in one day. The deeper pshat in Yontav Sheni, above and beyond just Mishum Safek, Hisara B'minag Abbasim, what motivated Chazal in many ways to continue to maintain that minag, or we would say what may have motivated them to establish it not only as a minag, but even as a formal takana, it says about Tanya, is because, again, this is the halachic section is over, is because there's a certain deeper that in Chutz La'aretz, a person needs two days to be able to get the same koach, which can come in one day. A person requires 2 days, because Chutz La'aretz is more distant from Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not the land of Eini Hashem El Kecha Ba Tamid. It's not the land of the Ribbono Shel Olam being there as directly. And therefore, we require 2 days. That Derech Agav is connected to the reason why the Shulchan Aruch Harav paskins like Chacham Tzvi, that a Jew from Chutz La'aretz who's in Eretz Yisrael should keep 1 day. And Jew in Eretz Yisrael who's in Chutz La'aretz should keep 2 days because it's really taloi in location. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, so you're zocha to get it, you can get it in 1 day, all the koach you need. If you're in Chutz La'aretz, you require 2 days. If you follow this train of thought, so what's pshat for the other postgame? Again, this is all just all derech drush. The pshat is, I think, something that Achronim point out, that it's not taloi in where you're located, but who you are batz muso. If you're ben Chutz La'aretz, so then even in Eretz Yisrael, you require 2 days. And if you're ben Eretz Yisrael, so then at its core, even in Chutz La'aretz, you can get in 1 day. But the Baal Tanya goes one step further. And this is an idea in Chabad Chassidus, which again, you could take or leave. But the Baal Tanya says, I happen to think from a certain perspective, the Yontav Sheni is even a holier day. Why? Because many of us know that in Chabad Chassidus, they're very fond of quoting what is the Medrash, that the reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam, a lot of why Ribbono Shel Olam created the world is because Nis'avalo Dira B'tachtonim. The Baruch Shalom wanted a Dira B'tachtonim, and part of the real goal of Yiddishkeit, hence why Chabad goes far out as Shlichim, is to bring Yiddishkeit and to bring the light of Torah to the darkest of places. And the more distant you are, and you can still find Baruch Shalom there, so the holier it is. So even Yontav Sheni, Shalgolios, so Dafka, that light of Yontif, even though it takes more time, you're bringing it to a darker place. You're bringing that light into a darker place. And that's the Yontav Sheni is a day of real avoda, because Yontav Sheni is a day in which a person's trying to not keep a show and mina ekstam, but trying to experience the koach of the Yontav even on the second day. And even if a person is not privy to either being a ben Eretz Yisrael or being an Eretz Yisrael, a person's able to do it. What's intriguing is the following idea: where else do we see this idea that Yontav Sheni being a particular powerful day? There's a very famous comment of the Ramami Pano. It's quoted in Magen Avraham. It's quoted from the Post. And the Ramami Pano has the following kasha. We keep Shavuos on Vav Sivan. But Lemaisa, Matan Torah, it's a very famous kash. Matan Torah is actually on Zion Sivan. Moshe Rabbeinu added a day, Moshe Yom Echad Midaito. So really it was on Zion Sivan. Why do we keep on Vav Sivan? What's pshat that we keep on Vav Sivan? L'chora Torah is really given on Zion Sivan. What's the pshat? So Rami Pano says the following very beautiful idea. The Rebbeinu Shalom's original plan was to give on Vav Sivan. And therefore, that's when we keep it, Me'ikir Adin, on Vav Sivan. Why is there Zion Sivan? Why was Torah actually given on Zion Sivan? If the real day, the real plan was Vav Sivan, that's when we celebrate Shavuos. So says the Ramami Pano, it was a reference to the fact that Torah was given in Chutz Laretz. The Torah was given in Chutz Laretz. Zion Sivan was going to be Yom Tov Sheni. And because Zion, it's quoted in Post-Min Shulchan Aruch, because Zion Sivan was going to be Yom Tov Sheni, so therefore, out of like a certain kind of deference to that, we decided to keep Yom Tov Sheni, even on, sorry, as a reference to that, the Torah was given, that Moshe was Moshe, Yom Echad Midaito, it was like a tribute to the world of Yom Tov Sheni, the Torah was actually given on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. Meaning, Hashem wanted to give it on Vav Sivan, that's the way, and we keep it. When was the Torah Lemaisa given? In Chutz Laaretz on Yom Tov Sheni, a statement about Yom Tov Sheni. Comes along the Chasam Sofer in Beitza and Daf Dalet. And the Chasam Sofer says, what is pshat in that? And why would we memorialize forever the fact that Jews kept it on Yom Tov Sheni? What's going on? So says the Chasam Sofer the following very powerful Torah. Chasam Sofer, La'asid lavo Mashiach's going to come. And what's going to happen? The borders and boundaries of Eretz Yisrael are going to expand. And when the borders and boundaries of Eretz Yisrael are going to expand, what's going to happen? There are going to be Jews in Eretz Yisrael. We're going to start being Mekadesh the Chodesh again, says Chasam Sofer. Al Yedei the Levana. We're going to do it again the way we used to do it. You know what's going to happen again? There will be places in Eretz Yisrael because it expanded beyond its current borders where the Shlichim aren't going to be able to get there in time. Parentheses, he assumed you couldn't spread it through WhatsApp or the internet. To Shaila Nachrona, whether you could spread it in that way. You have to go old school Shlichim. Says Chasam Sofer, things aren't going to be able to spread. You're going to have Jews, even in Eretz Yisrael, keeping it the Sheni because they're not going to be able to hear from the Shlichim. And says the Chasam Sofer, that's what the Ramami Pano meant. What he meant was, you know what I told you about the Sheni? Not a Zecher to the fact that there was a time period of Golas, but rather a reference to the eventual Geula. Because says Chasam Sofer, in the eventual Geula, we're still going to keep. We're still going to keep Yom Tov Sheni in those places where the Shlichim can't get. In the places where the Shlichim can't get. We're still going to keep Asher Lavo. That's why it says Chasam Sofer, I only have like one more minute. That's why it says Chasam Sofer, the Ramam Bipano said we're going to keep it Yom Tov Sheni. That's why Torah was going to be Yom Tov Sheni. So as a reference to the Asher Lavo, Yom Tov Sheni, which says Chasam Sofer, will not be called Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, but will be called Yom Tov Sheni Shel Gulasenu. Says Chasam Sofer in Drushas. That's why we're going to keep the Asad Lavo as a remembering the Gullus and Geula that we went through. The Gullus and the Geula that we went through. So even the Asad Lavo, we're going to be able to keep it in Eretz Yisrael in certain places where the Shlichim are not able to get to. One of Chaz, we spoke about very, very briefly. We spoke at number one. The Gemara and Bracha, based on Dafdal, there's something called Yom Tov Sheni. Yom Tov Sheni, we keep in Chutz La'aretz because Minigah was saying B'yadeichem, that's what we do. What its status is more or less the same with one or two nafkaminas. What is its status nowadays? Why do we keep it? Either a takana or a minag or something along the lines of it. And it's chefta, it's a minag, but we have takana to keep that as that. Relates to the shayla of bracha on a minag. As far as in a certain sense, you can look at the sheni as being a day of challenge, a day which is frustrating, essentially a day of chol in which you can't do malacha. Alternatively, you can look at Yom Tov Sheni as elements of Kedusha, a time period where the same Shefa of that Yom Tov is given over, says the Alter Rebbe in the Likutei Torah, where that same Shefa is given over. And the institution of Yom Tov Sheni in a very famous Chasam Sofer, in like three or four places in his writings at least, the Chasam Sofer tells us the idea of Yom Tov Sheni right now exists because it's Golios. But La'asid Lava, when the Geula comes and the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael expand to many, many more locations, and the Shlichim aren't to spread, the original idea of Yom Tov Sheni will still be around, because then not everyone will find out about it in time. We start being Mekadesh to Chodesh again, Al Pi Ariya. And it says Chasam Sofer and Drash, when we keep Yom Tov Sheni, then it's going to be reminding us of the Gullus and the Geula that we eventually had. Yom Tov Sheni is an amazing day to experience more Shefa and more Kedusha, to do it in Eretz Yisrael, so you have much better odds of being able to nail down all of that wonderful Shefa,
all of that wonderful Hashpah from the Ribono Shel Olam, because you're in Eretz Yisrael. So you get the first day power of Eretz Yisrael. You have the Benchutzar, it's the second day. You have another day to be a Dan. It's an amazing opportunity to be able to derive Kedusha from all that is there. Have a wonderful rest of your day.